Good job. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father, a joy again to be in the Word today with your people. I appreciate these folks, Lord. Each of them have busy schedules.
They got more going than they know what to do, and yet here they are, meeting with your people. Lord, give clarity. Open our hearts. Help us to apply this beautiful word to our lives and use it for your purposes this morning. Speak to the hearts of each and every one of your people. And we thank you, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. When I was a kid, I was very envious of my parents because month after month after month, they took communion and I wasn't able to. And I was wondering what that was all about. I didn't understand what the whole communion thing was all about anyway. I was just a little kid. But I remember thinking, I bet you that wafer is better than a chocolate eclair. And I remember thinking, I bet you that juice is a special juice. And I bet you it's like when we used to go to the soda shop. I bet you it's like a big, large Coke with a shot of cherry in it. I bet you it's better than that. Well, I finally went through the classes and was able to take communion. And you know the rest of the story. The first time I was so excited. I'm going to get the wafer. I'm going to get the juice. And to say that I was underwhelmed with the taste of both would be an understatement. But it got me to thinking, well, if it wasn't because of the taste of the juice, if it wasn't because of the taste of the bread, what is this about? Perhaps it has a totally different meaning that I was attaching to it, more than it had to do with just the taste of the elements. Well, this morning we're going to look at that very question. What is it about the bread and the cup that we partake together? And it's interesting because we're going to look at a church that was doing it totally wrong. The Corinthian church. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And if you don't have a Bible, we've got pew Bibles at the end. And it's on page 784 in your pew Bible, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. This is what Paul writes. In the following directives, I have no praise for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not in this matter. Now suppose we head into the communion service this morning, and I say, I make the following statement. Okay, those of you who give $500 a month and up, I welcome you to partake of communion over here. Now use your sanctified imagination, and let's say sitting here is this humongous, beautiful oak wood table. But that's not what catches your eye. What catches your eye is what is on top of this table. It's got beautiful fruit. It's got all kinds of meats, cheeses that just look delectable. And the communion elements are gold-plated because you give $500 a month. And then I announce to you, now you poor people who don't give that much, I want you to partake of communion, but over there in the corner, and you use the plastic cups and you use the little wafers, kind of like we're going to use this morning. Now, what would you think of that? If you know the true meaning of it, what you would be thinking is, now, wait a minute. This communion thing is supposed to bring us together, not divide us. And, Pastor, what you've just done is divided us along socioeconomic lines. based on what we have. Well, that's what the Corinthians were doing. That is exactly what they were doing. They were splitting the church over who had the stuff and who did not have the stuff. And Paul says, quit it! What are you doing? The very thing that should bring you together, church, the thing that should unify you is dividing you. And he said, it's not the Lord's Supper you're taking, because if it was, it would be bringing you together. Instead, you're using it to be divisive and to separate you. And so, stop it. You know, in the church, we have so many divisions. It's crazy. But I love Paul's read on this in Galatians chapter 3. He says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The one who breaks down barriers is Jesus Christ. There's no reason in the church for us to have racial barriers or socioeconomic barriers or all of those crazy things. All of it comes crashing down in Jesus Christ, because there's a level playing field with Jesus. He is the holy and absolutely righteous one, and we're the sinners, every one of us, every single one of us. You know, I was raised in the racially charged South, where we had Ku Klux Klan and we had Black Panthers and much negative rhetoric during that time, and even some violence. But our God has delivered me from that racially charged stuff, that hatred. Because in Christ, we are one. We are one. To the point that my best friend at Universal Studios was another security officer by the name of Charles Guillory. And I loved Charles Guillory. I worked with him for over a year, and he's a black man. We had a love for two things. We had a love for the Lord and a love for good barbecue. And he made some great barbecue. I loved it when he made chicken out and barbecued the chicken, and he would bring it to work. And man, what a feast it was. So, the very thing, the Lord's Supper, Paul is saying, you're using it to divide instead of unify. The Lord's Supper means that we all come very humbly to the place of communion. No head stuck above another, because every one of us are in the same boat. Sinners before God. And then he goes into why, since barriers are broken down in Christ, in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Corinthian church had forgotten the basics of their faith. They needed to go back to the elementary school of faith and retake Christianity 101. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it. Why did he break it? Two reasons. Number one, to send the message to his disciples, my body is going to be broken. Listen to Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. That was written hundreds of years before Christ came. It's almost like God knew what was coming down the pike. He knew exactly what was coming down the pike. So he did it first to signify that his own body would be broken. But second, he did it to share with the 12. He says, this is for you. And this morning, as we partake together, what that table up there says, this is for you and 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 you. It's for all of us. And never do we draw lines in the sand that you can't take. No, if you've trusted in Jesus, that's what this is all about. This is for you. This table is for the people of God. But please understand that even though we rejoice in the individualism in America today, you are not the most significant. Do you understand that? You're not. When Jesus gave his instruction, he said to them, "Do this in remembrance of me." The most significant person at the Lord's table is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's all about him. All about him and his finished work. Do this in remembrance of me. So every time we partake of communion, we are remembering what he did for us in the past 2,000 years ago. His body was broken for us. And then it says, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Ooh, sounds kind of gory. But did you know in the Old Testament, every time God cut a covenant, that's what it was called, every time God made a covenant with his people, blood was involved. And it involved the blood of goats and bulls and lambs and so on. But this new covenant spoken of in Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36 is God sealing his agreement of salvation with his people through the shedding of the blood of the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. God is cutting a new covenant with his people, and he's going to send his own son to the cross for you and for me. His own beloved son. And this blood, the blood of the perfect Lamb of God, was precious to God the Father. And he says, "Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The memorial for us as Christians, the remembrance time is around this table right here. His broken body. His shed blood. It's a time of remembrance. We remember, we look back on what he did for us. So he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Try to go back to that time before you trusted in Jesus. Because Paul writes about that in Ephesians 2. This is what he writes. He says to the Ephesian believers, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." That was true of each and every one of us before we trusted in Jesus Christ. And then he puts, "But," I love that, "but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." His shed blood brought us from being separated from God into now having an eternal relationship with him. The most precious commodity on the planet is not silver or gold or even plutonium, but the precious blood of Christ that brought about our salvation. Then he adds, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Every time his church, Christ's church, partakes of communion, we are declaring the gospel. Do you understand that? That our hope is in the fact that 2,000 years ago, he died for us. His body was broken for you and for me. And his blood was shed so that he might purchase forgiveness for us. But we also have something we're looking forward to. He's coming again. In Titus chapter 2, Paul calls it the blessed hope of the Christian. John in the book of Revelation closes the Bible with this encouragement, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." And as he's on the Isle of Patmos, I can only imagine him saying, "Amen, come Lord Jesus, soon." The blessed hope for the Christian is that Jesus is coming back. So when we partake, we proclaim a past reality that has implications in our present reality as we look to a future reality. The past reality is right here. His broken body. His shed blood. Our present reality, living by faith in God in a world that's really not interested in rewarding that. Our future reality is the blessed hope. He's coming back. So we're given instructions here in this passage. We are to partake of this until Jesus comes back as a remembrance, remembering what He has done for us on the cross. But can we be honest? You do this month after month and year after year and decade after decade. It kind of loses its shine sometimes. It can get kind of ho-hum and boring. Oh, the pastor will read the same passage. We'll do the communion the same way. But Paul warns the people, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Look with me at verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. That's a euphemism for death. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Participating in an unworthy manner means coming to the table in an irreverent and sinful way, and so sinning against the body and the blood of Christ. And that's what the Corinthians were guilty of doing. And so God was dealing with them. He was afflicting some of them. He was disciplining them. There was an elderly lady in one of my previous churches who pulled me aside after we had communion that Sunday morning. And she said, Pastor, I don't want you to think I'm a bad person or anything, but I decided not to partake of communion this morning. She said, she went on, I'm not where I need to be in my relationship with God. So I decided I would refrain from taking communion. I hope that's not bad. I said, no, by all means, if you feel the need to refrain from taking communion, do so. By the way, thanks for your honesty, I told her. Is there anything I can help with? And she said, no, there's not a thing. And that was the end of it. During the time of self-examination, the Holy Spirit may lead you to refrain from taking communion. That's okay. Okay? We're not looking for morbid introspection here, but about being honest with ourselves and with God. As we examine ourselves, we're asking questions like these. Where am I in my relationship with God? Is my heart where it needs to be? Do I have attitudes or actions that stand in sharp contrast to the faith that I profess? Do I have something against another brother or sister in Christ in the church? You see, those things need to be taken care of. And so examining ourselves is a good thing. And by the way, the Lord's discipline is described as a good thing too. In Hebrews 12, the writer of the Hebrews says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastens everyone He accepts as His son." That one of the sterling ways that God communicates to His people, "I love you," is He disciplines them. And His discipline is a good thing for us. It gets our attention back focused upon Him. Every time after my mom or dad disciplined me, and while the spanking was still felt on my backside, they would say something like this, "Bobby, do you know what you did wrong?" And if you knew me at that time, which none of you do, but if you did, you would know, yes, it was quite obvious that I knew what I had done wrong. So I'd say, "Yes, ma'am," or "Yes, sir," to my dad. "Well, son," they say, I discipline you because you did wrong, and I love you enough that I want you to do right. Do you understand? And many times they would then embrace me, and I'd have tears running down my cheeks. Now, if my parents loved me and wanted to correct me so that I would do right,
Isn't it good that we have God as our Father who wants to correct us and discipline us because He loves us too? It's a good thing for us. So this morning what we're going to do as we move into the time of communion is we're going to first begin by examining ourselves. Spend some time just examining your own heart. Where are you with the Lord? Ask those questions that I asked earlier. If the Lord leads you not to partake this morning, don't partake. Nobody's going to say anything to you. This is between you and God. Nobody's filming this, so you know you don't have to worry about that either. But if the Lord so leads, when you're ready, come up and take the bread and the cup. And we're going to ask you to come up and get the elements and take them back to your seat, and we will partake together in just a few moments. Now, a few reminders. You do not have to be a member of our church in order to partake. The most significant thing is that you have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that you understand what this is about. His body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. So let's move right into a time of communion. And again, spend some time. We're not in a rush here. Spend some time with the Lord, getting your heart right. And when you're ready, come up and get the elements.